Book them down. All right. Give the book.
Amen. Well, as we've been doing, they're probably going to do it tonight, and then finally next week will be over. Just going through some notable words in the King James Bible, I think, are good words to know. And Pastor White, as that guy said, we're going back to that book again. Amen. Oh, I got to keep going back to that book. Amen. Because the power is in the Word of God. By the way, let me give you this. Don't ever be ashamed of your Bible. One of the things we're trying to do is look at some of the archaic words and say they may be out of circulation, but they're still good words, and they are there for a purpose, and they meant something. And so never be ashamed of your Bible, the way it speaks, the way it sounds, its language. Yes, it's Old English, and no, we don't talk that way anymore, but it's that way for a reason. You know, I tell you what, I admire this book because it is different from the rest of the books. Amen. It makes the rest of the books sound odd because of how it reads in its Shakespearean type language. I mean, I love it. And so, you know, never be ashamed to quote verses, and people say, well, what is that? You know, say, it's Bible. That's what it is. Well, mine doesn't read like that. Maybe you need to get another one. Amen. The King James Bible. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand with our Bibles. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to be at. I'm going to do what we did last week. Again, I'm going to give you some words, and I want you to tell me whether you think they're good words or bad words, and we'll look at the context. Again, the goal is words that we think may be hard to understand maybe are not as hard as you think. And oftentimes it's mind over matter. We hear a word, we think it's hard to understand, and so we want to chuck it. But you don't want to do that without reading the context, because oftentimes if you read the context, you can pretty much tell whether the word is good or bad. You may not know exactly what it means, but you can tell, okay, that's good, and that's bad. Amen. All right, Ephesians 6, 10. I'm going to read 10 through 13. I want you to join in with me and read verse number 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, as we saw Sunday. So Paul reiterates himself. Wherefore, as a result of what I just said in verse number 12, take unto you the whole armor of God, not a piece, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now join in with me at 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father, help us now, Lord, to never be ashamed of the Bible. Help us, Lord, in those times when we may not know what a word means exactly, but we can understand the context and what it's saying. God, help us to be able to do our research, our due diligence, to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Work on that Mormon co-worker's heart. Work on this dear Muslim's heart that Pastor and I have witnessed to. And, Lord, many others that have been witnessed to throughout the week, including the dear lady that Mrs. Dawson witnessed to, Linda. Lord, there's so many that we have been talking to over the last several weeks and days and months and years, Lord. Allow the word of God to seek in and sink into their hearts. They may be convicted of their sin, convinced of sin, and convinced that Jesus Christ is Lord, and be saved. Thank you for loving us. Work in us in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Let me say this. You know, we put the word of God out quite a bit. We witness quite a bit. And don't be discouraged if you don't see fruit. Remember, Paul went to Athens. He didn't see much fruit. The Bible says a couple folks got saved. It's easy to get discouraged when you give out tracts and when you plant the gospel and you tell people, whether it's your relatives, whether it's your friends, and they don't get saved when we think they should get saved. Don't get discouraged. Keep going on. I still think back to my job back in 1984. Sergeant Hunter would always tell me, Dawson, you just need to get saved. And I never got saved on his watch. But then God sent me overseas, and guess what? Several years later, guess what happened to me? I got saved. I hope I see him again. And nothing else, I know I'll see him in heaven. I'd like to go back up and say, man, thanks. I appreciate that. And I didn't like it at the time. I told him to get out of my face, leave me alone, get off my back, get off my case. The guy that told me and my wife we need to come to church, Rod Branch. I still never forget how persistent he was in trying to get me to come to church. Now, Pastor White, he met with me for 3 months at the gym at night when I know he had better things to do. But for 3 months, he took time out because I refused to come to church. I said, I'm not going to church. I said, I had church all my life. But I had questions. And he took time out for me. Now, praise God, I got saved. But guess what? What if I didn't get saved then, but got saved later? One man planted, another man watered. But what happened? God gives the increase. And so don't give up as you're giving out the gospel. Don't say, well, they'll never get saved, because you never know. You never know. Brother Gibson, a missionary that was over in Mississippi, said he prayed for his sister for 26 years. And she finally got saved after 26 years. Don't give up. I know it's easy to lose hope and say, well, they ain't going to get saved yet. And you write them off. You never know. You just never know. Amen. All right. So we're talking about the King James Bible and different words. So I'm going to read off some words to you. And I want you to tell me whether it's a good word or a bad word. Then we're going to look up the context of these words. All right. Don't look in your book yet. All right. Not yet, at least. All right. So use your imagination. The word pernicious, is it good or is it bad? How many think it's good? Raise your hand. How many think it's bad?
Bad.
Pernicious, okay. All right, next word. Perdition. Good? Bad? Many of us heard that one before, amen. Next word. Propitiation. P-R-O-P-I-T-I-A-T-I-O-N. Good?
Good.
Good.
Bad? Propitiation. Okay. Purloining.
Categories.
Don't know. Some don't know. Amen. Purloining. Purloining. Good?
No.
One good? Bad. Purloining. Okay. Next word. This one's going to be hard. Raise. R-A-S-E. Raise. Good? Bad. No, that sounds like razor. Yeah, it's bad. No. Okay. Next one. Requite. Requite. Good?
Depends.
Or bad?
In the middle.
In the middle, amen. All right. Mrs. Lepard kind of knows what it means. That's
it's
why she's
like
saying
what you're requiting.
Amen. Requite. Okay. Here's another one now. We're going to look this one up tonight as well. Score. Good or bad?
Depends who scores.
Again, this one depends. Score depends. Okay, we'll look up that in just a minute. This is the last one. Soddish. Good?
No.
Bad. Soddish. Yeah, man, you're bad. Just soddish.
That
doesn't even sound good.
That doesn't sound bad.
I was like, you're soddish. Is that good or is that bad? Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the first one. Amen. Perdition. John 17:12. We're going to look at the context first. You should be able to tell by the context. John 17:12. I will tell you this. It is about Judas Iscariot. That's bad already. John 17 and verse 12. And notice what it says here in verse 9. This is Jesus praying his priestly prayer for us. By the way, this is the Lord's Prayer here. This one is. The other ones are the model prayers for you and I. This is the Lord's Prayer here. You say, preacher, how do I know that? Because verse 1 says, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. So we know he's praying to the Father in heaven. Notice verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Talking about the 12. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. Well, that could be a tongue twister there. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Notice verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, speaking about the 12, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, there's our word, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So that is speaking of Judas Iscariot. Perdition then. What does perdition mean? It says the son of perdition. What does perdition mean? It's not good, that's for sure. Hmm? It's in the book. Right, now we can look in the books. Amen. Perdition. It means basically ruin or loss.
Eternal
damnation. A complete loss. So he says the son of complete loss. Now how would you like to have that for a title? He's the son of perdition. He's the son of complete loss. He's the son of destruction there, Shane. Son of ruin. Son of loss. That's not good. Now, by the way, the next word we're going to look up has the same basic meaning, ruin or loss or destructive or destruction, which is right underneath that, pernicious. Pernicious. Let's go to 2 Peter 2:2. So it means a ruin or loss or destructive. 2 Peter 2:2. And this one has the same basic meaning, 2 Peter 2:2. Now, 2 Peter 2:2, of course, we're talking about false prophets. So is that good or bad? Bad all right off. 2 Peter 2:2. Notice verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among them. Anytime you've got a but, it means there's a contrariness. So he's saying one thing, and then he says, but. Now it's going to go the opposite way. So he spoke about the good prophets there in verses chapter 1, verses 18, 19, 20. Then he says, but there were also the prophets also among the people. Either there should be false teachers among you, who probably should bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, it's bad enough they're going to bring swift destruction on themselves, but you know what false prophets want to do?
Bring destruction on you.
They want to bring destruction on somebody else. Because think about this. A false prophet, if you take off the false, what is he?
Prophet.
He's trying to pan himself off as a real prophet. And that's why he's called a false prophet. He's doing the same thing. Why do you think the Antichrist is going to be called the Antichrist? He's going to try to do all the things that Christ would do, but he's going to be going in the opposite direction. Okay? And so they're going to bring sweet destruction upon themselves. Notice verse 2. And many shall follow their, what kind of ways?
Pernicious
ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now let's park there just for a moment. They're going to follow their pernicious ways. It means the same thing as the last one, ruin or loss, destruction, or something that can injure. But he says, I'm following their pernicious ways, but now notice what he says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So what does that mean?
It's the opposite of what the Word of God tells us.
Exactly. They're going to believe a lie.
Yep.
Truth is evil spoken of, and so they're going to go away from truth. Folks, there are a lot of people out there right now like that. Where the truth now is being evil spoken of. You can't believe that. No. And the truth now is evil spoken of, and so if the truth is evil spoken of, who am I going to follow? I'm not following a true prophet, so I'm going to follow a false prophet. Why? Because truth is being evil spoken of. Hey, folks, we go out there and we say homosexuality is wrong. That truth is being evil spoken of. So what are people doing? Going over here. Well, the false prophets say it's okay. And if you tell me that I can't be gay, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to take you to court. Now they're saying as parents, you cannot stop. You cannot take your child to get therapy if they say they are transgender. They're trying to put a halt to that, so you can't take them to get them to not think that. And they're trying to pass a law to say, me as a parent can't take my children to a therapist to say, well, I wouldn't take them anyway, but I'm just saying, say, okay, now son, you're a boy. And we've got a therapist here to tell you, you're a boy. Therapist, what do you, he's a boy. They're trying to make that law, well, you can't do that anymore.
Sure.
Let them be what they want to be. And so what's going on here? The truth is being evil spoken of. And when the truth is evil spoken of, what are people going to receive? A lie. So folks, it's starting already. It's starting already. So he says there's false prophets. They're going to bring on themselves swift destruction. He says many are going to follow their pernicious ways or their ruin or their loss or their destructive ways. He says, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. He said, it's coming. It's coming. Folks, we are right. We are. This was written years ago. Mm-hmm. We are right there, where truth is now being evil spoken of. one man and one woman. That's being spoken evil of. That's we that can't be. We love each other just the same. No, you lust each other just the same. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you prove that? The Bible says it. Well, going back to that book again, Pastor White. Going back to that book. Well, I don't have another book.
Yes.
But folks, we're there. We're there. And brace yourself. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. And so these false prophets are there. They're going to bring ruin and loss and destruction on people. And they say people are going to follow their pernicious way, their destructive ways, their ruined ways. And by the way, God is not playing. It's going to happen. I was talking to Tony just the other day. We were talking about AIDS and how they had to change. I remember that I talked about that, how they changed the name of AIDS. It used to be a GRIDS.
GRID.
Gay-related immune deficiency.
Yeah.
And then there was a big uproar. You can't call it a gay-related immune deficiency. And so they went and changed the name to AIDS. You knew that, right, Andrea? Amen. And Andrea works with that. So they had to give it this title because they didn't want to have it associated with how it was caught oftentimes back in those days. And so they changed the name. How many of y'all knew it was called GRIDS before? Most people don't know, because as soon as it came out, there was an uproar. And the truth was evil spoken of, so they had to change it to suit the times. Amen. I'm just saying, we're there. Amen. All right, next word we're going to look up is propitiation. It's a good word, propitiation. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, we don't use this word often, but praise God for it. 1 John chapter number 2. And in 1 John chapter number 2, he's already talking about fellowship. But in chapter 2, he says, "My little children," verse 1, "these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Hallelujah. That requires a big amen there. He says, "Now, I don't want you to sin." He said, "But if you do slip up and sin, we have an advocate with the Father." Pastor White, what did our friend call it? A mistake? I said, "Well, my Bible calls it a sin." Well, it's not a sin. It's just a mistake. It's a mistake. Well, I think it's sin, and God calls it sin. I don't read anywhere where God said they made a mistake when they ate the fruit.
Yeah.
They sinned. You know? Well, they made a mistake when they ate the fruit. Well, it was a big one, a costly one. It's called sin. Amen? Disobedience. But then he says, and he is the propitiation. So Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. And so, what is propitiation? He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So we know it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He is a propitiation. So what does that mean?
Substitution.
Or in other words, he is the atonement or the satisfaction. The word that they use is expiator. I had to look that up. Expiator means to extinguish the guilt or to make amends. So Christ made amends. He extinguished our guilt. He was our atonement. He's our satisfaction. Or as it says in your book there, he's the sacrifice to pay for sins against God to satisfy his righteous anger. And as we were talking to the young man, I said, well, at the end of the day, if I die, I know I'm going to heaven. I said, but how do you know you're going to die? He said, well, if I die, I'll just call on God's mercy. I said, but you're forgetting his justice. I said, as a just God, he's got to punish sin. And when he say, Pastor White, well, he doesn't have to. He can forgive it on his mercy. I said, not if he's just. I said, how about we going to let you go for a crime that you committed? I said, that ain't going to wash for the family that lost somebody. I said, because of his justness, he has to have someone pay that penalty. And I said, God, be a perfect lamb. The Lamb of God. I said, so somebody, I said, yes, he could say, I'll forgive you. I said, but then he wouldn't be just. Because somebody's got to pay. The wages of sin is what? Death. I said, somebody's got to pay for that. Well, oh no, he's merciful and this, that, and the other. Oh, you want to use Bible terms now.
There we go. Yeah.
When you're dying, you want to use Bible terms.
Now you can use the book.
Yeah, amen, amen. And so he squirmed. He got mad. He got upset. Wanted to strangle Pastor's wife. Probably ever invited me in. Amen. That's why he didn't invite me to the next reindeer game. Amen. Okay. Leave me out. You can take Surge instead, brother, next time. So I'm sure he'll. So propitiation, atonement, satisfaction, expiator. Amen. So that's a good thing. All right. Let's go down to the next one. Titus 2:10. So let's go back a little bit. Purloining is the word. Purloining. purloining, Titus 2:10. And, all right. Titus, who's got that already? Titus 2:10. Go ahead. Can you read that one for me?
Not purloining, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things.
Okay, if he says not purloining, we know already that's probably not a good thing.
Right.
Because he said, don't do that. Amen? And as soon as I get there, I have to be gentle in this area. This is where my pages are torn up. So I've got to be gentle in this area. All right, here we go. Titus 2:10. All right. So, not purloining. Notice the context of where this one sits at. He says, verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. Fidelity. He says, showing all good fidelity. So being above board in what you're doing. Being someone that's trustworthy. Fidelity. Okay? Of course, we would call the opposite of that an infidel. This is showing good fidelity. Okay? So not purloining. So what does that mean? It means basically to be, to embezzle or to keep back for oneself, to steal or to pilfer. So in other words, you're working for the boss and you're taking in the cash. And as you're taking in the cash, you're setting some aside. Who in the New Testament did that? Ananias and Sapphira. They kept back part of the price. So they did something like that. Not exactly like that, but something like that. So purloining says, I'm going to bring it in, and I'm going to put it in a coffer, but I'm going to take a little bit out for me. Pastor Wyatt, weren't you the one that told me that there was a guy at finance that stole a nickel from everybody? A penny?
He started
stealing a penny from everybody in the military and never got caught. Until when? He raised it up to a nickel. Then he got busted. So what was he doing? He was purloining. He was stealing our money that should have come to us. A penny. Now, who's going to miss a penny? And we'd see a penny on the street and didn't even pick it up. But he stole a penny from every military member. Can you imagine that? And nobody even saw it. Not purloining. And then he got greedy and went for a nickel. You would think he would have went 2 cents. But he went for a nickel. I mean, let's not just go up. You know, go 4 cents up. And did they ever say how he got busted, passed away?
Well, there was a guy, you know, some people actually look at their pay stub and their pay every month. So there was a guy that was looking at his stub and just couldn't figure out why even the penny was being lost. But then when it started going to the nickel, he called the treasury and asked about why was it such a big difference. And they started looking into it. That's how they found it.
So your sins will find you out. So he's probably down at Leavenworth right now, amen. Leavenworth, Kansas. But purloining, that's what it means. So it's to embezzle, basically, to steal something or keep it back for yourself. That's purloining. Amen. All right, let's come up with another one here. Here's the raise. Amen. Go to Psalm 137 and verse 7. Psalm 137. This is raise. Raise. Psalm 137. All right. And I'll read the context to you, and you should be able to figure it out right away. Psalm 137. And verse 7. Okay. Verse number 1 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Now here we go. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. Here are some key factors here. Was Edom kind to Israel? So we all automatically know that Edom was not kind. That was Esau's descendants. So they weren't kind. So if they were saying, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem who said, raise it, what do you think raise it means? Raise it. Edom wasn't doing, they weren't good. They weren't kind.
Tear it down.
Remove, take away, destroy, tear down. So Edom, in other words, it means to be bare or to leave destitute, to demolish or make naked, to empty. And so Edom was basically saying, tear it down, make it barren, even to the foundation thereof. They were saying, empty it, make it desolate, even to the foundation thereof. So in other words, level it. Get rid of Jerusalem. We don't want Jerusalem. That's pretty bad. That's what Edom was saying. Amen. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it. They said, tear it down. Amen. We don't want that. Amen. So that one is one of those words where that was kind of hard to establish. Let's know a little bit more. Let's go over to Genesis real quick here. This is probably going to be our last one.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not in the book.
Raise it, raise it. It should be at the top of page where your R's are at.
Nope, my R's start right here. Rampart, rank. It should be right after rank. R-A-S-E.
It's right here.
It's not in here.
I'm going to give you the book, man.
No, it's not. It's not anything at the top. It's residue, rye. It's no raise in my book.
Looks like you're missing.
You're missing a page.
No, because I go from P to Q, and there's R. Starts right there.
What edition do you guys have?
By the Nissan.
It says P.
I have the same one as Katie.
Q and R.
Our words are the same. Our words are different. All your R's are on one page.
All right. Put that one up there.
Oh, John. How many don't have it? Raise your hand. I get your new books. That must have been the old version.
That's the old
book. That's the
old book. That's the old book. I'm a new book.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, sis, because I didn't notice that. Who else doesn't have it in there?
Serge doesn't. It's not in his either.
I do.
That must be a whole new edition. That's why you don't have it either?
Even the front copy is different. The front
it is different.
The front is different?
Even the front's different, yeah.
Like the words on the side.
So somebody must have picked that out.
This one says 500. We got 600.
Yeah, this one says over 500 words. And this one says over 600.
That's it.
She's short.
No fair.
See, that one said over 600 words.
All right, so look on the front. If yours says 500 words, that's a bad one. If it says 600 words, you're good.
Okay. It's not bad. It's just not. We're missing
words. You won't have all the words in there. You'll be minus 100 words. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad you said that, sister, because I did not know that. I didn't see that.
Because I'm like looking for it, I'm like, where is this?
And you know what happened? I ordered some of these years ago, and I had them sitting in my office, and then I asked Tamara to order me a new batch, and I never really knew that it was different. And so they got mingled together. So some of y'all got the ones that I ordered years ago that I gave out. So I apologize for that. Sorry about it. Everybody's got 600 words now.
Yes.
Everybody's got raisin.
Yes.
All right. So.
Now we're going to Genesis?
Required. Yeah, we're going to go to Genesis 50:15. Genesis 50:15, and I appreciate y'all speaking out and letting me know you had that. Andrew said, yeah, like last week. You know.
Yeah.
And then he said, I ain't in my Bible.
Wasn't that
sneezing?
That wasn't in the book.
And he said,
I know.
Hey, give me a bogus book here. Give me my 100 words. Here, you
know?
Listen, 100 words out of there.
Yeah.
All right, so notice 50:15. And this is Joseph in his last days dealing with the brothers. The brothers think that he's going to get even with them. And it says, when Joseph's brethren saw, verse 15, that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. Already it's starting off bad. And will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. So what are they going to do?
Repay
him. Repay him. Get him back. Amen. Requite means to return, restore, or reward, or repay. So in other words, think about that. It's saying he's going to get us back. There's a pit waiting for us. There's some coats of many colors with some blood on it waiting for us. And so he's going to get us back. Amen. So we're going to stop with that one. And we'll pick up next week with the last few words. And then we'll be done with that book. Amen. All right. So again, these are just showing you that most of the time, by context, you can figure out what the words are. By context, you can figure out what the words are. You can kind of figure out whether it's good or bad. Just like Edom, raise it. We know Edom meant bad towards Jerusalem. We don't know what that word actually means, but we know it's not good. So keep that in mind when you're dealing with these different words that are in the Bible. And I trust that God will bless in the studies here coming up. Amen. Your King James Bible is reliable and trustworthy. And so never let anyone talk you out of it. Amen. Pastor White's going to come up in just a minute. Father, thank you for our study. And help us now, Lord, to take these things and recognize we've got a reliable Word of God. And Lord, it says what it says. It means what it says. And well, sometimes the words are a little hard to figure out. But thank you that you've given us aids to help us, Lord. The most aid is the Holy Spirit and the context of the setting. Thank you for loving us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Pastor White's got our announcements.
All right, pretty much for most of the announcements for this week, there's no activity as far as the church is concerned on Saturday. So I hope you enjoy your free weekend, get some things done. Also, to remind you, if you haven't already done so, please sign up for the snack list. It's here in the kitchen for the month of September.